Welcome to healing class. I hope you came expecting. I came expecting this morning, I did. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Jesus, you are great. You are mighty. You're an awesome God. And we are healed, Lord. And we come now, Lord, to receive everything that you have provided for us. In the name of Jesus, there is power and there is authority. And Lord, we're going to receive this morning because of the price that you have paid for us. We don't take it for granted. And we don't want to look at it as something small. But Lord, it's great in what you have done. And we receive, Lord, and we're going to walk in victory because you have bought the victory for us. And in Jesus' name, I expect healing this morning to take place in this room. In whatever measure, in whatever form it would be, whether it would be in the body, whether it would be in the heart or in the mind or in the emotions, Lord, but that healing will manifest in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Can we shut that back door back there? We'll leave this one open because
I didn't mean it. I thought I shut it.
That's okay. That's okay. Sometimes we push it and it doesn't grab. All right. We come expecting.
Yes.
Right? Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Healing class we've been taught for years now is about how to receive our healing. That's number one. How to receive our healing. And then how to walk in divine health. How to keep our healing and to continue it, no matter what comes against us, to walk in divine health. And then after that, how to minister healing to others. Those three tenets have been the tenets of healing class for years. And how to receive our healing for us is number one. And sometimes it's hard for us to receive.
Because it's much easier to believe for somebody else because you don't feel or know exactly what
you're not in touch with those feelings,
see,
are you?
See, but you have your own feelings and you pray and you still have some of these feelings and you go, well, how come nothing happened?
And we can't go by feelings, though.
No.
That's the thing. We
no.
cannot go by feelings.
No.
We can't go by symptoms. I'm not saying ignore your, I'm not saying, you know, if you feel like you need to do something, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying ignore everything. But when it comes to the truth of healing, sometimes a symptom is a lie.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Sometimes a symptom is saying, oh, you didn't really get healed. Yes, I did. And I receive it. Now get out of here in the name of Jesus. There's times we have to take a stand.
Yes. Yes.
And that's how to receive our healing, standing on the truth. And what is truth? The truth, 1 Peter 2:24, I looked over there. Does anybody know that by heart, 1 Peter 2:24? Can you say it? It is by his stripes we are healed. But who himself bore our sins, right? In his own body on the tree. In his own body he bore our sins. He carried them, right? He carried our sins.
That's why he was unrecognizable.
Yes. Having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So not only did he carry our sins, he also carried our healing. He bore our healing.
Yes.
And this has nothing to do with what I'm going to say today. It does, but it's just a little side note. And I got to add this to it. Because if you look at Isaiah 53, and we know Isaiah 53, it's the suffering Jesus. In Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs, which means our sicknesses. That word means sicknesses. He bore our sicknesses and carried our sorrows or our pain. He did that for us. That's in verse 4. Now, if you look at verse 12, it says, And he bore the sin of many. It's the same word. So he bore our sicknesses, our grief, our pain, but he also bore our sin. At the same time on the cross. Like 1 Peter 2:24 said, he bore in his own body our sin, by whose stripes, the stripes that he bore, we are healed. So we can't deny that Jesus provided healing for us when he went to the cross. It's undeniable when you look at it in the Word and when you receive the Word as truth, which it is, we can't deny that we are healed at the same time that we are saved.
Yes. Yes.
It's all a part of our salvation, this thing that Jesus did for us when he came.
It's a package deal.
So, amen. So, the name of this class today is For This Purpose. And we're going to look at the purpose of why Jesus came and how healing is involved in that. So for this purpose, 1 John 3, verse 8. Everybody knows this. You know, we say it over and over again. But for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he would destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil.
Yes.
He came to not just hold it back, but he came to destroy it. Just like when he said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He fulfilled it. Well, at the same time, he fulfilled the law by becoming what the law talked about. He was the manifestation of all that the law talked about. He became that manifestation. When he did that and he fulfilled it, at the same time, he destroyed the works of the devil.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
It's fixed. It's fixed. It's done. So we can say, we can stand and we can say, I receive my healing because Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Part of the works of the devil was sickness.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you believe that? Or do you, yes. Is it just happenstance? Oh, I must have caught that virus just floating around in the air. Just a coincidence. It's not. The works of the devil is anything that comes against you to kill, to steal, and to destroy, because he's a thief. And if your physical, in your physical, your health is stolen from you because of a sickness, that's a thief that did that. So when we can look at it that way, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested in this world, that he would destroy the works of the devil. Mm-hmm. He came to destroy those works.
Amen.
We're going to look at a couple of different instances just to see what the Word of God says about this when Jesus healed and how this took place and see if we can dig a little bit more truth out of it, okay? So let's go to Acts chapter 10.
Verse
38. Yes, that's the good one, isn't it? We're going to end up there, Dan, but we're going to start a little bit earlier. Acts chapter 10. Verse 38, not yet, Acts chapter 10, okay? Acts chapter 10 we know is the story of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. It says he was of an Italian regiment, but he was a Roman centurion. He worked for Rome. And he lived in the city of Caesarea. But it says he was a devout man. He was a praying man. He feared the Lord. He wasn't caught up in all of the Roman gods and worshiping them. He worshiped God. But he didn't have the full truth of it, but yet he was a God-fearing man, and it says, and he gave alms. So he helped those. One verse says that he helped the Jews that were around him. So he was a God-fearing man, and he prayed often. And at one point when he was praying, one particular day, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and says, send for Peter, the apostle, because he's going to come and he's going to tell you what you need to do. In other words, he's going to bring the gospel to you. He's going to bring the truth to you. You fear God. What you have is good, but you need something a little bit more. You need it really clear that this one that you're worshiping is Jesus Christ, the Lord. So at the same time, you know, this is going on. He sends his a regiment of people over to find Peter. The angel tells him right where to go, where he is, whose house he's in, tells him where to go. And at the same time, Peter is on a rooftop. He's staying in a house. He's on a rooftop, and he's hungry, and he's waiting for lunch. And at the time, he goes into he sees this vision, and the Lord, we know the story, lets down this great sheet with all of these unclean animals, and the Lord says, "Arise, Peter, if you're hungry, eat." Oh, no, Lord. Isn't it amazing how God will use your natural circumstance to reveal a spiritual truth to you? And he will. Sometimes, in Peter's case, he was hungry, so the Lord says, "Well, here it is, eat. Here's your banquet." But he says, "No, no way, Lord, no way. I've not touched anything unclean like that. I will never, never, I can't do that." Three times the Lord told him, he says, "What I've called clean, don't you dare call unclean." The Lord came for not just the Jew, is what he's telling Peter. He came for the Gentile. He came that the world would be set free. Whosoever believes in him. And that's not just the Jew in Peter's case. So the Lord is showing him this. So, and he tells him, there's somebody coming for you. Don't fear about it. Just go with them. At that time, when they seen a Roman soldier coming to knock at their door, they might have been a little bit afraid. Maybe we're going to be arrested. Peter had already been arrested in prison, and the Lord had let him out miraculously. But the Lord told him, don't be afraid, just go with him. So he goes to see Cornelius, and that's where we're going to pick this up at, okay? We're going to start in verse 34. In verse 34 of Acts chapter 10, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." Think about that. God shows no partiality. But I don't know the word like that person does. I'm not as educated. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the thoughts I had just last night.
We're living with time.
Yeah. It's amazing when you're around. People know you quite well, hon. Anyways, God shows no partiality. He's not particular in who
he... He loves me too.
He does. He does. With an everlasting, eternal love. But he shows no partiality. And I think Peter, remember on the day of Pentecost? Peter's got this, he's bold and he's out there preaching. And I believe it was Acts chapter 2, verse 21, where part of Peter's sermon that day was, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He's really beginning to see what that really means right now when he's called to a Gentile's house. He's really seeing it. He may not have understood that fully. The whosoever, who is the whosoever? He's finding out who that whosoever is right now. So God shows no partiality. So he goes over and he's preaching to him. But in every nation, verse 35, whoever fears and works righteousness is accepted by him. Accepted means you're received by God. When you fear the Lord, when you honor him, when he is your Lord and Savior, you're received by him. You're accepted. You're part of his family. It's really a word that talks about receiving something. If you give a gift and somebody receives it from you, they have accepted that gift. When Jesus receives us, he takes us as his own family member. We're received by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. These are the things that Cornelius needed to hear. He needed to know this God that he is worshiping and is honor of. The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. And here it is, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The word oppressed means a harsh control over. It's a bondage. It's holding someone in bondage, exhibiting harsh control over them. So the oppression of the devil, the Lord says, or Peter says, Jesus healed them from that harsh control. He healed them. That healed is the word that means physical healing. So the works of the devil that Jesus came to destroy, part of those works is healing. It's physical manifestations of healing in your body. Sickness can be a bondage.
Oh, amen.
How can it be a bondage? Let somebody tell me, how can sickness be a bondage in your life?
Keep you from doing what you want.
It does.
Or what you need to
do. Yes, it does. It can keep you from doing what you need to do mm-hmm. because of limitations, mm-hmm. perhaps. What else?
Keep you from planning.
Keep you from planning.
Not only can you not
yes.
do what you need to do now, but each time you want to plan what you do in the future, you go, I wish this is not here.
Yes.
You know, so you are limited.
Everything is centered right around that sickness.
Right.
That's bondage.
Yeah, it is bondage. It is bondage. I got to take this medicine. If I forget it, what's going to happen?
Nothing.
Nothing. We're not going yeah, we won't go there right now, but yes. But it's a bondage. It's a limitation. What if it's, which we'll look at a couple of things. What if it's a physical limitation to where maybe a paralysis? You can't get up and do the things that need to be done in your house. It's a bondage. And it's like, you feel like, I'll never get away from this. It's this rope that's got you bound. It's tied you up to where you're not free, is what it is. It's a bondage. It's a harsh control is what oppression means. So when the Lord said, when Peter said, Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, he was healing them of their physical sicknesses. Many times, yes, he was delivering them from demon power. That is an oppression of the devil, too. He oppresses them. He controls them. It may have been, for a lot of us, maybe it's been heart healing. We've been held within our hearts. We've been unable to receive Jesus in the fullness because of something that's taken place in the past. And our heart holds us back from just giving everything. Where it's hard for us to just surrender because we look at our past. That's a bondage. Israel was in bondage for 400 years. They were controlled, harsh control over them by another nation. But one day the Lord came and says, I've heard your cry, and I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to set you free. When Jesus went through, he says, I've seen the cry of my people. I've seen how they've suffered. I've seen how the devil has oppressed them, and I've come to set them free. So we need to receive what Jesus has done for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And he dealt with every one of their gods.
Yeah, we're going back in with Pharaoh, yes. So he shows no partiality. So if he healed one, he'll heal another. Our part is to receive. Once we know the truth will set us free. But once we know that truth and we see, we cannot any longer look at anything that has to do with us. Because I can't heal me. I can maybe take some vitamins and, you know, maybe boost my immune system a little bit. You know, things like, there's maybe certain things I can do. But if it comes to a physical heart malady, I can't heal that. If it comes to a diabetic condition or a cancer condition, I myself can't heal that, but the power that is within me, the power of the Holy Spirit, because it says Jesus healed through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how God anointed Jesus Christ with power and with the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil. We carry that same Holy Spirit power and anointing within us right now. So when we release that, yes, in that state, I can say, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the physical, in the natural, I can't. But in the spiritual, I'm a powerhouse. You're a powerhouse. Because you, inside of you, is the creator of the universe. Just think about that. The creator of the universe lives inside of you. And he has called you to worship him. He's called you in love to worship him.
And what he says comes to pass.
That's right. That's right. So in that way, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil in this case. Part of those works was sickness. By whose stripes we are healed. We read 1 Peter 2:24. By whose stripes... He took those stripes for a purpose. It was a horrible thing. One day when we get to heaven, I think we'll understand it fully. To understand it fully right now, my mind can't grasp it. That he became sin. I don't think we can grasp the fullness of what that really means. He became. He didn't just take it from me. He became. He became. So I was there. When he was on that cross, I was there. You were there. All future generations were there. He took it upon himself. That whosoever would believe in him. Yes, Joe.
All generations were there also.
I'm sorry?
All past generations.
Yes. Were also. Yes, because sin was not just from the cross on. That's why he went. Mm-hmm. So it was the past, the present, the future.
It's a center of history.
Yes. You know what? What happened in Genesis? Genesis chapter 2, the Lord warned, you know, Adam, don't eat from that tree,
lest you die.
Lest you die. Go ahead,
lest
Joe.
Lest you die. Not you will die, lest you die. You could have a chance of dying by eating of the tree.
Well, what it really means... It really means, when you look at it in the full Hebrew, it means in dying, you will die, is what it means.
Yes.
When you partake of that and you rebel against God's word, in dying, spirit man died, and then the physical will die. Death did take place. It took place first in the spirit. But he says, in dying spiritually, you will die physically. So death came in at that point, and Adam's body began to die. It began to wane of the life of God. And what happened after they partook of that tree? I'm just going to go over there and read it.
Weeds were born.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But if we look in what happened to Eve... When did sickness and pain and disease happen? Let's look at chapter 3 and see what happened to Eve. What was told to her? To the woman, verse 16. To the woman, he said, this is after the fall. This is after they partook of that fruit, that forbidden fruit. In verse 16, to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Pain and sorrow happened at that point when they partook of that. You want to know the first instance of pain in the body? Right there. In childbirth, in sorrow, in the pains of going through this. It was supposed to have been something, we all rejoice, oh, we're going to have a baby. It's something to rejoice about. And we do rejoice. We're excited about it. But at the same time, what happens? Pain, you feel weighed down. Some women go through depression. You know, hormones start just, it all starts happening. And it's because of what happened. Sin. Sin brought this thing that is so supposed to be so beautiful. And it is. Don't let me say that it's not. It is. The birth of a child is a beautiful thing. It is. But the pain that a woman goes through, the pain. Just let me read you something that I read from a commentary. Now here's what it says when we said in chapter 2, in dying, you will die. It's that double. It's really magnified. In dying, you will die. It says in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. It says in the Hebrew, in dying, you shall die. Well, what's told to her, I will greatly multiply, which means in multiplying, I will multiply. So you have that double that's there also. Oh, but we can get into the double that we have right now, which is awesome. The double portion. I mean, but still, this is what happened. So one commentary says, in the sorrow of your conception, or rather of your pregnancy, since not pain but pleasure is supposed to be perceived in conception, and besides is a blessing, but this takes in all griefs and sorrows and disorders and pains from the time of conception or pregnancy to the birth. Nausea, loathing of food, think about it, dizziness, pains in the head, pains in the feet, pains in the legs. Yeah, you're swollen. Yeah. Fear. What about fear? Fear of miscarriage? Fear can come in also. Fear? Fear of death? Oh, I hope. Fear of, I hope this child is healthy. Fear. All of this happened. These are all works of the devil. All of this are works of the devil that Jesus came to destroy.
So we can't enjoy.
Yes, yes. So this is what happens. And then, of course, Adam, by the sweat of your brow and the thorns and the thistles, you're going to be tired. You're going to sweat. It's going to be hard work for you now. All of this was a condition of sin. Sickness is a condition of sin. And that's what this is called. That's why I said this is called, for this purpose Jesus came. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. So we see that for Cornelius, we know what happened. He received the word. Him and his family received the word of what Peter was teaching them. One more thing I want to read out of there before we go on in Acts chapter 10. When you get down to verse 43, he puts it all together. He says, yes, Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But in verse 43, he says, to him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins or forgiveness. So he puts all of this, Peter himself puts all of this together, that not only did he heal people who were oppressed by the devil, but also in Jesus' name is the forgiveness of sin. It's all one, as you said, Tom, all one package. So when we're saved and born again, we, at that point, because of Jesus and who we are a new creation. We can receive our healing. We receive healing. We can receive deliverance from devils, demonic oppression, depression that's come upon us. But we have to receive it. That's the thing. See, we have to receive it. I know people who are saved, but they live in such a dark area. Depression wants to come upon them. And we can help them, but there comes a time to where you have to be able to receive that. Why am I living like this? And break that power that has come upon you to destroy you, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the one who wants to destroy you. Because he is our enemy, but you are a threat to the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. We are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Yes, thank you. A threat to the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Here they come again, praying in the spirit, talking about Jesus. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. We stand for what is right in righteousness. Yes, Ephoma.
Once I lived with a young lady, back in Nigeria. She was my babysitter.
Okay.
And we didn't know she was possessed. She was in initiated into witchcraft.
Right.
In her life. So one day something happened, and she manifested, and she said, "You know, you torment me. You pray too much, and every time you're praying, my whole body feels like somebody's poking me with pins."
Oh boy.
And then she goes out to our porch in front of our apartment, and she stays there. If I prayed all night, she stays there all night.
Okay.
Because if she's inside the house, she can't, you know, her whole body will feel like she's being poked.
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
So, yes, we are a threat.
A threat. Yes. A threat.
Yes, we are.
Anytime we're praying,
that's right.
Something is happening.
That is right.
Yes.
That is right. He knows the name of Jesus.
Anytime
the enemy knows.
Reading your Bible, you're a threat. Anytime you're doing anything God tells you to do, you are a threat.
Amen.
Make me a threat.
Amen.
Make me a threat, Lord. Right?
Make my day.
Make me. That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen.
You know what?
We're gonna keep going here, okay? But what happened with Cornelius? We know what happened. His whole family got filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on them, and they began to speak with tongues, and then they got baptized in water. The Lord did such an awesome work because they already knew they already had the fear of God within them, and they were doing good works. Righteous works by doing things that are helping and good. But it's not based on our righteous works, but knowing the Lord makes us want to do those righteous works. Okay? You just can't help but help people and do something good when the spirit of righteousness is inside of you, living within you. So let's go to Luke 13. We're going to go over to Luke 13 and see. Does oppression come from the devil? Yes, it does. Does sickness come from the devil? Yes, it does. So Luke chapter 13. In verse 10, says, "He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up." We've had a miracle here in this church, haven't we? Of a woman who was bent over,
yes.
Who was raised up to stand up straight again. Yes. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." Remember we talked about sickness is like a bondage that keeps you bound up? When you're bound up, the Lord even said it right here. Because he speaks to this woman, heals her. And of course, the religious leaders got filled with indignation. They were so angry. This was an extreme anger they had towards Jesus. In verse 16 is where I want to go. "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound?" Satan bound her. This sickness that she was going through was not just a natural thing. It wasn't just a happenstance. Satan bound her. Sickness comes from the devil. Comes from the devil. "Think of it," he says. "For 18 years, should she not be loosed, be let go, and that rope around her be set free? Don't you do it," he says. "Don't you take your donkey out and you take them for water on a, you know, because it's the Sabbath day." They're thinking, how dare you heal on the Sabbath day? But he says, "Don't you do good things? Shouldn't she be loosed? Shouldn't she be set free from the devil himself?" So unbind her. What we want to do is we want to see you unbound from all sickness and all disease, because it's a binding force. It wraps itself around you like a python would do. It'll wrap itself around you, and when you try to take a breath, it goes tighter and tighter. But we are set free because of the blood of the Lamb, and really because the word of our testimony. That's how we overcome. Can we testify of the good things that Jesus has done? You know what the Hebrew and the rabbis say when they talk about a testimony? It's not just saying something that was good, but it's looking at what happened and bringing it to pass and doing it right now. It's not just speaking of something that you've seen, but it's actually doing it. That's what a testimony is. You're actually doing it. You're actually taking what Jesus has says you can do, because he's our example, and you're bringing it into the present, and you're actually manifesting those same works. That's a testimony. And he is no respecter of persons. He shows no partiality. No partiality. When we can stand and say, I am healed, that's truth. I am healed by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the stripes that he bore, I am healed.
Amen.
And we're standing on truth.
Yes.
Nothing can accuse us of anything that would be a lie, because that is truth. But I'm not feeling so good. It doesn't matter. I am healed. And you stand in your determination and you don't give up. You don't give up. I've went through that. I know what that feels like but I'm healed. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And I'm so sick that I can't hardly even sit up straight. But I'm claiming it. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I receive my healing. And even though at that instant I did not receive what I expected to receive at that moment, I still said, I don't care. It changes nothing. I know the truth. And I'm healed because Jesus provided healing for me. It was a learning experience for me to go through. And I went through that experience and I went through and I overcame on the other side because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. So I've seen fevers drop and stop, and people feeling better and getting their energy back when you prayed for them. I've been able to pray for people and see their backs healed and to see their necks loosed from unable to move them, and to see free movement in the neck again, and to actually see a blood clot, not see it, but to know about it and to hear about it because of an x-ray of a blood clot that disappeared after we prayed for somebody in the lungs. It disappeared. And the doctor says, I don't know. I know it was there. I know it was there. And to see somebody that was told, you have MS. I bet my life on it. You have MS. And when we prayed, I don't know what happened.
Went away.
It's all of a sudden. It's gone.
Thank God.
Thank God. See, he came to destroy the works of the devil.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And he shows no partiality. He told Cornelius that. Peter told Cornelius that. God shows no partiality. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And in that salvation, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil.
Yes.
We are healed. And we can pray for others to be healed. That's the purpose for this class, isn't it? He gave us the authority. Yes, he did. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power of the Lord. Why? Because Jesus Christ was in the room. The power of the Lord was present to heal. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, whether he's here, whether he's at home. Right here is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Wherever we go, the power of the Lord is present to heal. Wherever we go.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
He came in order that we can live. Peter was saying, Jesus came. He's in the room. He's here for a purpose. He went about, if we look over in Matthew chapter 4, I believe it is, says he went into the synagogues teaching, preaching the kingdom of God, healing all manner of sickness and disease, delivering people from devils. See, those are the works of the devil that he came to destroy. It's Matthew chapter 4. I want to say around verse 17, maybe. Nope, 23. Verse 23. If you want to just read that later on. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, 24, and 25. He's upsetting the whole world. You know? He's just upsetting everything because he's coming to put things back in order again. And sometimes when you're trying to take what's been rooted and grounded in darkness and you want to put it back in order and make it right again, there's some people that get awfully mad at you.
Well, yeah.
They can really get angry with you.
They get comfortable in their darkness.
Oh, whether it's an organization, whatever it is, whether maybe it's a church denomination, we don't do that here. Some people will get mad at you, but Jesus came to set things right and turn things around and put things in order again. And the order, the perfect order of God is that you walk healed,
amen,
that you live healed.
Yes.
That yes, you live filled with the Holy Ghost and power and overcoming in every area of your life. Healing can take place, as we already said. It's not only physical. Sometimes a heart healing, a restoration in a marriage, in a relationship that needs to be healed. Sometimes those things are help somebody more than a physical healing because it's caused a separation. It's caused a separation maybe from their loved one. They can't trust. It's hard. I know somebody right now that has a hard time trusting because she's been so hurt. And depression comes upon her. And darkness comes upon her. And she makes wrong decisions because there's a lie that's been perpetrated within her. You're not worth anything. You're not loved. But you combat that lie with the truth. And you continually combat that lie with the truth. And you continually pray. And you continually speak life. Jesus said, speak truth and speak life. And watch the manifestation and the purposes of God take place. For this purpose we are called.
Amen.
For that purpose he was called to destroy those works. Now for that purpose we are called to glorify him, to show forth who he is in all of his beautiful manifestation, his nature, his image, and his likeness, his goodness. We are called for this purpose now, to do the same works that he did, to testify of those good works. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We're going to close with prayer, and if anybody needs prayer, come forth. We're going to pray for you, but come expecting. Don't come hoping, maybe, perhaps. Come expecting. Sometimes we got to change the way we think, and we got to say, like a soldier that goes into battle, goes in, we're going to take out that enemy. Or like a football player, they're running down. Be on offense. Always be on offense. Go down and say, we are getting that touchdown and we're winning this game. We're doing it. Come on, team. And you get together and you say, we're going, we're not going to be denied. We might be thrown down once, but we're getting back up again and we're going all the way.
Yeah.
Okay? Come on offense. Come with determination. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for what you've provided for us. You are our way, you're our truth, and you are our life, because that is who you are. There's no denying. Lord Jesus, right now, I say, be healed, be restored, be clean, be whole in Jesus' name. And receive it. And declare it and walk in it forever and ever in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, everybody.